You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
On a busy Thursday, we welcome you into the gym class here at KGYM. 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Delivering things as we speak. Thank you, sir. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. Good show for you. Barry Abrams is going to join us. We will dive into Medina Spirit, the controversy at Churchill Downs, the controversy surrounding Bob Baffert, and a look ahead at an actual race. That would be the Preakness coming up on Saturday. We will do that with Barry Abrams coming up at the bottom of the hour. In the middle of May, the Big Ten has announced their basketball opponents for men's basketball. Conference opponents, home and away. Who you'll play twice, who you'll play once, who you'll play on the road once, who you'll play at home once. We'll dig into that. NFL schedules came out last night. And speaking of schedules, maybe we are closing in on a start time, a kickoff time for Iowa and Iowa State coming up in September. Great to have you aboard. 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, KGYMradio.com, KGYM mobile app. Please download it. We do appreciate that. And, of course, your smart speaker as well on a very, very nice early spring or into spring Thursday around Eastern Iowa. As we bring Mark Dukes in on this sunny afternoon. How you doing? I know that's a loaded question with the Twins leaving the bases loaded twice, or has it been three times?
The last two innings for sure, Scott. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Many afternoon games in Major League Baseball going on, including the Twins and White Sox game three of that series. Right now in the bottom of the fifth, the White Sox leading 2-1 on a pair of solo home runs. And the Twins, as you said, the futility continues, leaving the bases loaded each of the last two innings.
Lance Lynn, with the most unusual line of the day, 5 innings, 2 hits, I believe 1 run, 111 pitches.
Yeah.
That's a lot in 5 innings.
It is. He was on his last batter when he struck out Mitch Garver looking in the top of the fifth. That's a ton of pitches through 5 innings.
A ton of pitches indeed. It's also, this is somewhat of a rarity today, Mark, and we wish this happened more often, but the tracksters around the state of Iowa have a brilliant day to have their state qualifying meets. Boys and girls state qualifying meets around the state of Iowa, all classes, boys and girls today. Best of luck to everybody out there. And this got to be one of the best days they have had to run in many, many years.
Yeah, it's ideal. There's no question about it. And good for those participants. I know they held some tennis qualifying meets yesterday, and that wasn't too bad weather either. But, it's a great competition. I know there's a qualifying meet out of Kingston, Iowa City West, among others, all across the state. So best of luck to everyone.
Yeah. Yes. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you if you would like to reach out to us. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well at 319-366-1600. As we come your way here on the Thursday edition of the program. And I guess we start things off today with news as far as scheduling is concerned, both as far as football and some basketball news. Let's start off with the football news, because anything that associates with Iowa versus Iowa State is that's big news around the state of Iowa. We learned today, and I guess through process of elimination, that Fox Television announced that Oregon, Ohio State, and Columbus this year, Mark?
Yes.
That is going to be a early start on Fox on that particular early Saturday. What, the 9th, I believe it is? No, it's not the 9th. You know what date it is?
September 11th.
September 11th, okay. On that particular day, that will be the early game. Fox has the rights to Iowa State. So by process of elimination, you got to think that the earliest Iowa and Iowa State are going to kick off is going to be probably 3:30 or so. Fox has a little bit of unusual times. They don't go with the 11, 2:30, et cetera, and then primetime like ABC does. They do it a little bit differently. So you got to think it's going to be mid to late afternoon or, God help us all, a primetime Iowa-Iowa State game. Which
we would need to get full lubrication in Ames on September 11th. But it with the big noon game, they call it on Fox, Oregon at Ohio State, kicking off obviously at noon. And I don't know what would be a better time, more attractive time. I guess at night. I'm not sure what other games on the schedule there would be. But that announcement has not been made official, but as you said, process of elimination, Iowa State appears to be a late afternoon or evening kickoff.
I believe the first cars have pulled into Jack Trice Stadium as I take a look at the live cam. No, I'm kidding, of course. But wasn't it Gary Barta that said we will never have another Iowa State primetime game in Iowa City?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Jamie Pollard said because this one's in Ames, and you're kind of at the beck and call of television unless you really put your foot down, and you're still at the beck and call.
You are, and oh boy. I mean, late afternoon is a little scary enough. Prime time. With the day of lubrication, as you mentioned, for Iowa and Iowa State fans, with the expectations, especially for Iowa State going into the year. But I think Iowa with certain expectations as well. They believe, and I think rightly so, that they can compete as far as the Big Ten West is concerned. But, oh boy, batten down the hatches, Ames. If this is going to be the case, what do you think? 319-366-1600. Can the state of Iowa take another primetime Iowa State football game, especially this year, with all the expectations out there for these two clubs?
Yeah, regardless of the time, I think everybody believes it's going to be a whale of a game. Iowa State going to come in likely in the top 10 in the country. I don't know that Iowa will be ranked. Perhaps it will be. We still don't know how many people will be allowed inside Jack Trice Stadium. Now, things are coming back. Okay, baseball, the Cubs and White Sox are increasing their capacity to 60%.
And Twins.
At the end of the month. Excuse me?
Twins as well. They are going to have increased capacity starting this weekend.
Yeah, adding to the teams that have already made those announcements. So, you know, by the fall, who knows? It could be a full Jack Trice Stadium. Could be a percentage thereof. But there will be fans in the stadium, some number.
But how many extra people go to Iowa State to party and to tailgate?
Yeah, true.
That's the question. And that's where it gets That's where it gets a little bit skewed, and there's a bit of a gray area as far as things are concerned. But hopefully it will be okay, right? All is well. Buttons, all is well. The famous line from Animal House from Kevin Bacon. oh, man. David in Hudson says play it earlier. he's going somewhere. Ralph says Iowa is going to get beat. I'm going to paraphrase. Iowa State will win that game. They might, very well might win that game. Iowa State's going to be just in top five or just outside the top five. I think Iowa will be, it depends on the Indiana game, obviously. If Iowa loses the Indiana game, Hawks probably would fall out of the top 25 unless it's a barn burner right to the very end. But if Iowa certainly beats Indiana in the Big Ten opener and the season opener, then I think there's no doubt that that is going to be a very good game. Don't start with the whole, oh my gosh, game day should be there, whatever the case may be. More than likely, they're going to be in Columbus for Oregon and Ohio State would be my thinking, but you never know. Never know how that plays out.
And we're assuming that Mark Farley won't have anything to say about Iowa State as well, right? That's
true.
Iowa State's opener against you and I. And I got to believe Iowa State will cover that game without much problem. But there is one game, I think, before the Iowa-Iowa State game for both teams. And Iowa has a real toughie in Indiana, a Big Ten game right out of the chute.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Indiana's going to be very, very good, even though they lost a couple of receivers. On the text line, 319-366-1600. Thank you for texting in. We do appreciate it. 0835. I don't think you can have this game any other time than at night, with maybe the biggest Iowa-Iowa State game in history, with Iowa State having the best team in history, perhaps, and Iowa most likely in the top 15, top 20. That is a good way to look at it. It is a good way to look at it. We'll see what Fox thinks. We'll see what Fox thinks about that.
Again, no official announcement other than that Oregon-Ohio State game at noon, and we will await the decision of late afternoon game or night game.
Indeed. Indeed. 319-366-1600 at 316 here on a Thursday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, a reminder that we've got the partner interruption contest going on here on KGYM. And we're going to be interrupting your favorite hosts on all of our frequencies throughout the day to give you a shot at winning $1,000. When you hear us interrupt any radio show in the gym with the cash keyword, all you need to do is head to kgymradio.com. Go to kgymradio.com and enter in that hour's keyword for your chance to win $1,000. There are multiple times to win on multiple KGYM frequencies. Each keyword will give you an entry towards $1,000. So make sure to listen and head to kgymradio.com each time we say the keyword. All the contest rules and details available at kgymradio.com. We're going to talk to Barry Abrams coming up in just over 10 minutes, getting a little horse racing in. But the other scheduling situation and news coming out today is dealing with Big Ten men's basketball, Mark. And I must say that this one definitely caught me off guard. I was not expecting Big Ten basketball schedule news coming out today, but we have it here in mid-May.
We do indeed. We know the opponent breakdown anyway, courtesy of multiple reporters who are on the Iowa beat. I'll let you go ahead and run down the home and away, the home games and away games, Scott.
For Iowa men's basketball, teams they will play home and away. For the Hawkeyes, I think everyone's happy, although it's a year late, probably Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, Penn State, and the Purdue Boilermakers. So those are the teams that Iowa will face twice, those seven teams. So there's 14 teams on the schedule, 14 games of the 20-game Big Ten men's basketball schedule. Games, the teams that Iowa will only face once, these will be at Carver Hawkeye Arena, Indiana, Michigan State, and Northwestern. Teams that Iowa will play once on the road. Iowa goes to Columbus to take on Ohio State. They head to Piscataway in the Rack to take on Rutgers. And only one meeting this year, it will be at the Kohl Center between Iowa and the Wisconsin Badgers, which is kind of sad, Mark, to be honest with you. But only last year was Illinois. This year it's Wisconsin. And Iowa will only meet once in basketball.
Yes, the same type of situation. I don't have huge takeaways on this release, other than the fact that if you're going to play Michigan State and Tom Izzo, you'd rather play it at home. And that will be the only game between the Hawkeyes and Spartans this year. And then that Iowa-Wisconsin matchup, only one game, and that will be in Madison this coming year. Other than that, I'm not sure you can really take much away from this release.
You take a look at what teams have coming back for next year. You know, Illinois lost obviously a lot of firepower, but they're still going to be a very, very good team. Maybe the biggest losses for Illinois were the two assistant coaches that Brad Underwood lost. That might be their biggest losses. But Illinois is going to be good. Maryland has a chance to be really good next year. Michigan, likewise. But I think you take your chances with Minnesota, Nebraska, and Penn State if you're Iowa, playing them twice. Purdue should have a pretty darn good team next year. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I would agree with those sentiments. You have to believe next year is going to be different from the advantage that home and away might bring. Because as we know, last season it was family and friends at various arenas. And you have to believe with what the trend going right now in terms of fans returning to Major League Baseball and other sports, that, you know, those advantages in some places may be bigger than what they were last year.
Yeah, very true. It's going to be so much different, so much different. And I don't think you can really right now break things down as to who got an advantage as far as the schedule is concerned. Illinois has got to go to Indiana, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Those are the one-offs. That's not bad if you're Illinois. We'll see how Minnesota is with a new era, with a new coach. Certainly going to Lincoln, never easy, but if you've got to go somewhere to play in the Big Ten right now, you probably would take Lincoln. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So who knows? Who knows how this is all going to play out? But it's interesting to have this basketball scheduling news already in May. That's what really kind of made me do a double take today.
0835 on the text line. I would love to see Wisconsin twice, but glad we only have to see Brad Davidson once.
Oh, never say that. Never say that, because you could see Iowa Wisconsin again in the Big Ten tournament, or there could be some sort of a some sort of wacky, out of this world scenario where Brad comes back again. He's like a penny. A bad penny. What is that? A bad penny, and they always keep showing up or something like that.
And Jordan Bohan has made his last trip to Wisconsin.
That is true. Or should we never say never with that as well, Mark?
As of now, anyway.
319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Barry Abrams will join us coming up in just a little bit. We'll take a look at the NFL schedules as well coming up, because there's always interesting things coming out after the schedules were released. We'll take a look at who got the most primetime games, et cetera, et cetera. We'll do that coming up in a bit. Some football news today. Sorry to see Jerry Burns pass away, the former Hawkeye coach, coach in the National Football League. Longtime coach, very knowledgeable, good guy, and passing away, that information coming out after we were off the air yesterday.
Yeah, Jerry Burns, 94 years old, and he had the unfortunate opportunity, I guess you'd say, to follow Forrest Evashevsky at the University of Iowa. Burns was an assistant under Evie. And but Burns had a really, really, really good career. He's in the Vikings Ring of Honor. Spent a couple decades at least in Minnesota. Of course, while on Evie's staff, he was part of two Iowa Rose Bowl victories in the 1950s. And then I didn't recall this, Scott, but before going to the Vikings, Burns was defensive back coach for the Green Bay Packers and was part of those first two Super Bowl championship teams. Of course, then he went on to become offensive coordinator and head coach with Minnesota, and really solid career.
Yeah, really solid career, and we say goodbye.
Not so much at Iowa.
Yeah, like you said, it was tough to replace Forsevashevsky, though. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy that replaces the legend.
Yeah.
In most cases, that has not been the case for Kirk Ferentz, obviously, but in a lot of cases, that is usually the way it plays out. Davion Nixon's getting paid.
He is indeed. He signed a 4-year contract with the Carolina Panthers, and many people believe he was a steal in the draft. But to go 4th round, something like that.
Yeah.
Nice contract for Nixon out of the chute. We'll see how he, proceeds in the rookie camp and into the fall. But pretty nice contract.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the details.
Well, he'll be comfortable.
Yeah.
Can we say that? His level of comfort has gone up as far as things are concerned like that. So, yeah, great job by Davion Nixon right there. We'll dive into the NFL schedules after we talk to Barry Abrams coming up here in just a little bit as we come your way in the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. As we take you through this Thursday afternoon right here on 1600 AM 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, KGYM Radio Stream, your mobile app, and your smart speaker as well as we take you through this lovely Thursday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. And
Before we get to Barry, I wanted to offer the poll question. It has to do with the first subject we tackled today, and that was the Iowa-Iowa State football game and what time slot it will fill on Fox. Iowa State will likely open as a 7-point favorite over Iowa in week 2. Who are you taking? Are you taking Iowa State minus 7, Iowa plus 7, or this game needs a hook, meaning a half a point? Thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City for bringing us the poll question today and every day.
Way too early. let's see how Iowa.
I always like a hook myself.
Yeah, let's see how Iowa comes out of Indiana. That's, and like you said, UNI is not going to roll over for Iowa State. UNI is going to, got to find a running game, though, in Cedar Falls. They got to get a more diversified offense. That defense will do fine. And there's maybe a little chip on the shoulder for the Panthers after a spring that didn't go quite like they thought it would be. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Barry Abrams going to join us. Oh, what a week it was in the world of thoroughbred racing. And we'll discuss it with Barry after this.
Getting all that junk out of your life and on its way to the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency is a relief. But please cover that cargo securely. Anything falling out could not only cause a dangerous driving situation, but could also result in a big fine. Even a single piece of paper flying out of a trailer or pickup truck bed can mean a ticket costing you hundreds of dollars. So tie that tarp tight to keep roads safe from blowing debris and clean from litter. Keep it classy, Iowa, and keep it safe. Cover and secure your load.
One of the things that's great about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Same game parlay bets allow you to use many different NBA market options like player point totals, rebounds, assists, money lines, and more. Whether you are new or use FanDuel Sportsbook every day, check out NBA same game parlays daily. Same game parlays are just one reason to use FanDuel Sportsbook. Their app is simple to use, they've got great pricing, exclusive always always on promotions, and when you win, they'll get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use promo code KUHN at sign up. That's promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the gym class at 3:30 here on KGYM on this Thursday. Thank you for joining us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on KGYM. And what a week it was. Headlines in the world of thoroughbred racing. And to talk all about it, we bring in Barry Abrams. Barry puts out a daily one-minute commentary on thoroughbred racing. It's called The Far Turn. Do yourself a favor. Take it in. You can find it on his social media feeds, and you can also find it and check it out, The Daily Wager on ESPN+. And Barry joins us here on this Thursday. And I'm going to ask you right out of the gate here, Barry, no pun intended, or maybe there was, but was this all good for thoroughbred racing this week or not good? They always say there's no such thing as bad publicity. What's your thoughts this week?
Yeah, I get that, but this is not a sport where you want to build anti-heroes. It's not boxing. It's not wrestling. So I don't know that this is good unless you look at it from the standpoint that, you know, Churchill Downs, for example, where the Derby was run, has come down quickly on Bob Baffer to say, we're not going to accept your entries for, you can't run your horses here until this thing is settled. Now, of course, it's easy for them to say the biggest day they have is already come and gone, but it is showing somewhat, I guess, that this sport is taking this seriously. I was a little surprised that the folks at Pimlico, where the Preakness is being run, just automatically, within a couple of days, made an agreement to allow him to run. And the reason I say that is because they have banned another trainer, another Hall of Fame trainer named Jerry Hollendorfer, from running his horses for a series of positive tests that his horses have had over the years and breakdowns that his horses have had. So, you know, Pimlico Racecourse and Churchill Downs and a number of other industry leaders have come together to form this thing called the Thoroughbred Safety Coalition, which is designed to kind of voluntarily enforce higher standards than what the government is mandating and what state governments are mandating, for the purpose of at least showing the public that they care about, you know, raising the standards and cracking down. Well, for them to not even put up a fight against running Medina Spirit certainly doesn't speak to this Thoroughbred Safety Coalition's having teeth.
Barry, before this run-up, most recent run-up, what is your observation as to Bob Baffert's reputation in two areas, the media and his fellow trainers?
There are fellow trainers who, under their breaths, will tell you that Bob Baffert has gotten away with murder. There are others who don't think that, but there are certainly some who do. They won't publicly say that because, you know, this is a voluntary sport, so to speak. You know, nobody has to align with any one trainer. You don't have to get involved in the sport, and you don't have to have your horses with any one trainer. Owners can do what they want. And people who come across as rabble-rousers might not be as likely to get business in the future. And I would think most trainers have at least had some medication overages or violations at some point in their career, some more than others. Graham Motion, who trained the 2011 Derby winner Animal Kingdom, has had maybe one or two in his whole career, and others have had more. But, you know, it's tough to throw stones when everybody's pretty much involved in the same business. As for media, I mean, that's where Bob Baffert is really reaching into his reservoir of goodwill that he has had over the years. Plus the fact that, you know, in this day and age where public figures, not just sports figures, but any public figure can control their own messages through social media, et cetera, they don't have to talk to media outlets anymore to do their business and to enhance their reputation. So in order to gain access to these people, media people often pull punches so that they aren't excluded. And I would think Bob Baffert's reaching into that bit of leverage as well. He's the guy, if you want to report stories, he's the guy you have to report them on. And so if you want access to him, you have to not come down as hard as you might otherwise.
But if I can follow up, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead.
Barry, Baffert's original comment, I think, was that apparently a groom urinated on the hay, and the groom was on cough medicine or something, and the horse ate the hay. And horses are particular about their hay, Barry. How stupid of a comment was that?
Well, he had said last year that the reason two of his horses tested positive in Arkansas is because his assistant, who's with the with Medina Spirit right now, Jimmy Barnes, was wearing a lidocaine patch and it rubbed off on the horses. Now that sounds silly, but guess what? The Arkansas Racing Commission bought it not long ago. The hearing was not long ago, a year after the positives had been first announced. And it reminded me of an American sprinter named Dennis Mitchell, who was disqualified for 4 years by USA Track and Field for a steroid positive or a testosterone level that was too high. And he argued that the reason it was too high is because the day before the test, he had had six beers and had sex four times that day. And USA Track and Field bought it and reduced his suspension. So if what you're saying about Bob Baffert sounds silly, there's a precedent for it.
Bob Baffert's going to have two horses at Pimlico on Saturday running in the Preakness. Did Pimlico do the right thing having the horses run, but no Bob Baffert?
Well, they weren't the ones who said Bob Baffert couldn't come. Bob Baffert said he wasn't going to come. And he said it's because he didn't want to be a distraction. My guess is he just didn't want to deal with it. But I'm so torn about this, guys, because on the one hand, you don't want to see this horse running unless you know that everything is cool. But on the other hand, you know, in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty, and there's a process that you go through here, and it's going to take a while. And until it's completed, he's innocent until proven guilty. I mean, you know, the second sample, the B sample, has not come back. That's a few weeks away. And the lawyer for Bob Baffert has ordered a DNA test of the sample to confirm that the test really did come from Medina Spirit. So there's all of this. And then you have to have a hearing before the stewards in Kentucky. So there's just a lot that has to happen. And until then, you're innocent until proven guilty. So I'm very torn. My gut tells me he shouldn't be running until this is done. But at the other hand, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Barry, help the novices among us understand why the ointment that was used on Medina Spirit containing betamethasone, is that a performance enhancer? Why is it only allowable limits? Take us into that a little bit.
Well, I can't speak to why the cream that Bob Baffert supposedly used on this horse for a skin problem contained betamethasone. That part I can't say. What I can tell you is that what was originally reported as far as how much a horse can have in his system was wrong. You cannot have any of that in your system on race day. And according to the Kentucky state regulations, and most others in the country as well, that stuff cannot be given to a horse within 14 days of a race. Theoretically, it takes 14 days for that stuff to completely metabolize and be out of a horse's system. Was that given to him more recently than 14 days? It certainly sounds like it was, as a cream, if that's what you choose to believe happened. Now, is it a performance enhancer? Technically, no. It is a corticosteroid, not an anabolic steroid. Anabolic steroids build muscle. Corticosteroids reduce joint inflammation. Humans use it too. Football players use it all the time. But you can say it's not a performance enhancer, but think about it, guys. If you have joint pain in your knees or your ankles or whatever, you take something for it and the joint pain goes away, you're going to feel better. And if you're doing something physical, you're going to perform it better. So you can say it's not a performance enhancer, but it is a performance enhancer.
Barry Abrams joining us here from the Daily Wager on ESPN Plus in the far turn as we talk horse racing here at 3:40. There was a Kentucky Derby. We haven't even talked about the race yet. I've been talking about Medina Spirit, but an interesting race at Churchill Downs nearly a couple weeks ago, nonetheless, wasn't it?
Well, Medina Spirit had the best trip. And, of course, with a field of 19 horses, there was one scratch. Trip is always the issue. Traffic is always the issue. One of the horses who I think has a chance here, Midnight Bourbon, had a terrible break. He got slammed coming out of the gate. And Midnight Bourbon's supposed to be a front runner. He would have been an early challenger to Medina Spirit, who took them all the way around the track. Never got a chance to run. I'm not sure he's good enough to beat him anyway, but he never got a chance. Well, Steve Asmussen is bringing him back here in the Preakness in a field of only 10. So he'll certainly have a better shot at Medina Spirit here. But what always happens in the Preakness is that the Preakness being 2 weeks after the Derby in a non-COVID year, horses don't run every 2 weeks anymore. They run 4, 6, or 8 weeks apart. So the handicap for Medina Spirit, so to speak, is that he's only running on 2 weeks rest. The plus for him is that he's running against the B team, horses who largely did not run in the Kentucky Derby. The only ones who did were he and Midnight Bourbon and Keep Me in Mind, who's a long shot here. The rest of them did not. And some of that is because there are horses who are just a little later, take a little longer to figure it out. And we might see by the end of the year some of these horses develop into real prime contenders. But right now, it's hard to look at this field as anything other than the B team, the junior varsity. So Medina Spirit's running on shorter rest than they are, but he's of higher quality, and the Derby winner usually holds his form pretty well in the Preakness if you go back and look over history, even on 2 weeks rest, and I would expect him to do the same.
Barry, I promised my wife I'd ask you this. She owns a retired thoroughbred that measures 16 hands, and Baffert referred to Medina Spirit as a little horse. How many hands is Medina Spirit? Do you know?
He's probably in the 15 range.
Okay.
And so that's why he's a front runner, because he's a little guy that can really scoot. You know, the big guys, especially if the ground is wet, which it was not in Kentucky, and it certainly won't be in Baltimore. It's going to be beautiful. The big guys sometimes literally kind of sink into the ground. So given that the last two derbies were wet before this year, Bob Baffert was feeling good about at least bringing a long shot, but a little long shot, who would glide over the ground. And even on a dry track, he certainly did.
Yeah. People like Concert Tour as well. His other horse, quote unquote.
He was very puzzling his last start in Arkansas. He finished third in the Arkansas Derby. But before that, he had run three times and won them all, looked really good. And for a while, he was considered Bob Baffert's second-best Derby prospect. Actually, his best prospect got hurt. Life is good. Ankle injury, not career-threatening, but certainly won't be able to run in the Triple Crown races. But Concert Tour and Medina Spirit have very similar running styles. They both go to the early lead. Now, they both have outstanding riders on them. John Velasquez, of course, on Medina Spirit, second straight Derby win for him. He rode Authentic last year. Nobody saw it. It was during football season. And Mike Smith rides Concert Tour, two-time Derby winner, including Triple Crown winner for Bob Baffert on Justify 3 years ago. So you would think these guys will not get into a speed duel and cook each other, leaving it open for somebody to overtake them. They're two of the best riders of all time. But these horses do have have similar running styles. It'll be very interesting to see how the early stages of this race unfolds with that.
How about the rest of the field? Is there anybody that contend? We didn't know that Medina Spirit was going to contend in the Derby this strongly, but is it Concert Tour, or is it someone else?
I mean, we talked about Midnight Bourbon. I certainly would give him another look, though I don't think he's going to be good enough to get it done here. There are two horses who did not run in the Derby, both trained by Chad Brown, who I would certainly take a look at. Chad Brown won the Preakness in 2017 with Cloud Computing, and his two horses, both owned by the same guy, Seth Klarman, are Crowded Trade and Risk Taking. They both were okay their last races. I think they're training really well. They have two outstanding riders on them, and Javier Castellano on Crowded Trade and Jose Ortiz on Risk Taking. I'd take a look. I don't know that they're going to get this done, but you always have to respect Chad Brown, even on dirt. His best horses run on grass, but he's certainly one you have to look at as a trainer. So I would take a look at both of these horses, too.
Oh, the world is going to have so much fun if Bob Baffert's horses finish 1-2.
Yeah. Well, think about it. If he wins with Medina Spirit and then the positive test comes back and he's got to vacate both the Derby and Preakness, what a boondoggle that'll be.
Yeah.
Very. I'm sorry. The horse here is 16.5. I was asked to correct that. I want to ask you a general question about horse racing. It has its travails. We have seen what has happened at Santa Anita, and I don't know all the details there, but I know 50, 60 horses have either died or been euthanized, and now we have these the situation with Baffert. What kind of shape is horse racing in?
Well, it certainly suffers from a credibility problem. There's no question about that. Although, you know, we all know that bad news gets reported, good news does not. After the spate of deaths at Santa Anita in the spring of 2019, their numbers have dropped tremendously. And their sister track down in San Diego, Del Mar, that very year ran its prestigious summer racing meet with zero on-track fatalities from racing in and training. So you don't hear that getting reported. Nonetheless, perception is reality, and people still remember that spate of deaths in 2019, and certainly this Bob Baffert situation. It's a black eye. You know, next year there is a new law taking effect nationally that will make standard the setting and enforcement of medication policy. It's a long overdue thing. Will it bring back the public's trust? That remains to be seen. Again, bad news travels faster than good news. So it will take, I think, a long time for the sport to come back from this. Nonetheless, I said in a commentary earlier this week, it's not good. It's not ideal. Is it the kiss of death? I don't think I would go that far.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how Medina Spirit does against the JV field this week. And then we'll see how it all plays out after that. And we know one thing, the Belmont will be interesting no matter what happens on Saturday.
I mean, it's either going to be, you know, a Bob Baffert, what the heck is we going to do now kind of a deal. Or, you know, if another horse wins, then I guess you have to hope for a showdown between the two. If Medina Spirit's second test doesn't come back positive by the time of the Belmont Stakes, and that he would potentially be allowed to run.
Yeah. Interesting. Thanks for the information, Barry. Always appreciate it. Enjoy the Preakness, and we'll talk soon before the Belmont.
Love chatting with you guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Barry Abrams joining us here on the Gym Class on this Thursday edition here on KGYM. Again, listen in to his podcasts. They're available. The Far Turn, commentary on thoroughbred racing, and check out his social, check out his Daily Wager on ESPN Plus. We're going to take a break, come back, talk about the NFL schedules when we return.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our menu is just as tempting. That's why friends always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. Stop in today with your favorite people. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Welcome back home.
Refresh your home with a new coat of paint from Menards. Dutch Boy Forever Paint and Primer in 1 offers exceptional hide and fade resistance for a beautiful color that lasts. Its advanced all-weather formula protects the painted surface from the harshest of weather conditions. Save 11% on Dutch Boy Forever exterior paint. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through May 15th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
We're in this together, and we will get through this together. The vaccines are tested effective and needed.
Welcome to the clinic. Which arm?
Get your COVID-19 vaccine so we can do this. And this. And this.
We are now boarding flight.
Together again, because we got through it together.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you in the Gym Class at 3:51 here on KGYM. Our thanks to Barry Abrams for joining us. Always interesting when we talk with Barry, and learned a little bit about what's happening as far as the horse racing world is concerned. And NFL world, last night we learned who is playing whom and when. As far as the 2021 NFL schedules are concerned, 17-game season. And looking at everybody already putting out over and unders and what teams are going to end up with, it looks very odd, Mark, to see the game numbers adding up to 17 instead of our usual 16. No one's going to go 500 this year.
Yeah, that's so true. And I tuned in for about 15 seconds to the NFL Network's coverage of the schedule release because it was anticlimactic. And I don't know what was said I've looked around at the various schedules, and some folks believe their team has a tougher schedule or an easier schedule than what I look at the Bears. You know what? I don't see more than 6 or 7 wins there. I mean, opening up at the Rams and then facing an improved Bengals team, I believe, that will be at home.
Yeah.
Then at the Browns, so on and so forth. So what did you think about your Chiefs?
Tough schedule, no doubt. Boy, you better beat the Browns because then you go to Baltimore. right out of the chute. A lot of divisional games at the end for the Chiefs. So, we'll see how that all plays out. But we did find out games that are going to be in prime time. We knew Dallas was going to go to Tampa Bay for the opener. Did find that out. Yes, 47-02. I'm sorry. Yes, there could be a tie. Somebody could go 8-8-1. Thank you, 47-02. I apologize for that. Looking at how everything played out, there are only 2 teams that have 6 primetime games this year, Mark. The full maximum. How about that? Usually there are more, but this year there are only 2. You can guess one.
Cowboys.
That includes the Thanksgiving game, though, but that is a Thursday game. Not as many Sunday, only 2 Sunday night games for the Cowboys. 3 Thursdays for the Cowboys. 3, 4, 5. No, I apologize. They only have, no, they have six. I beg your pardon. Six. Two Sundays, three Thursdays, and a Monday for the Cowboys. So you won't see them on Sunday Night Football quite as much. Green Bay also with six, though. Six appearances. Teams right behind them with five include the world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The New Orleans Saints without Drew Brees. Interesting. Your Bears get five, Mark. Huh? How about that?
I'm good.
Three of the teams in the NFC West get five. The Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers get five. Interestingly enough, Arizona gets three. The NFC West is the most popular division as far as prime time, as they get 18 games over there. The Chiefs also get five. Pittsburgh and Baltimore also get five. New England with only three this year. How about that? How about that, huh? Cleveland only, I thought Cleveland would get more. They've got four. There are seven teams that are only appearing once. Let me count that. One, two, three, four, five, six. No, I beg your pardon. Six teams that are only on once. As far as prime time, the New York Jets, 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 Jets. Rick Swann, Cincinnati Bengals. The Houston Texans. The Jacksonville Jaguars. How about the Denver Broncos? Only one Thursday appearance this year for the Broncos. Carolina and Atlanta. That is it. They all get one. Detroit gets two, for heaven's sake, but one of those is a Thanksgiving game.
And one of them's against Green Bay, and looking at the Green Bay schedule, and I know the Packer fans are, you know, not overly confident, but I get why the Packers are on as much. They're a very popular team and a very successful team in recent years. But my question is it going to be with Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love or the guy they picked up yesterday? Did you see this?
Blake
Packers picked up
Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
Boy, I know Packer fans are hoping for that Blake Bortles start.
Yeah, Bortles against Jameis Winston out of the chute September 12th, right?
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. But some very interesting games. The NFL regular season is going to go into the second week of January, whether you like it or not. You're talking mid-February as far as the Super Bowl this year. We're getting closer and closer to go from straight from the Super Bowl into March Madness. We're getting there. Give us a couple of years. We'll get there. The division certainly that people apparently do not want to see is the AFC South with Tennessee, Indianapolis, Houston, and Jacksonville. They're only on a total of nine times, all four of those teams so far this year, or next year, I should say. And the Dolphins got the one team I always pick every year, Mark, that would be the beloved Miami Dolphins of the Bruners et al. Out there. Only two appearances for, I think, a pretty darn good Miami Dolphin team in prime time. And no Sunday nights for the Dolphins.
Yeah, you can only have so many, right? But I agree with you. The Dolphins are going to be an entertaining team. And the reason for that, I really don't know. But interesting that New England is down to, what, three?
Three.
Prime games. One of them has to be the Tampa Bay game, right?
Correct. I think I would have to double check. I would have to double check on that. But you would think that would be the case with Brady coming back home. That'll they are hoping against all hope that there is an injury to Tom Brady. Oh, my gosh. And not allow him to play in New England. But anyway, so there you go. You got basketball schedules. You got the NFL schedule and a whole lot more. What is coming up with you and Buttons tomorrow?
We're going to have a topic. We have reached out to a guest. We have not heard back. We could change gears, but at the very least, we'll have a really good topic to discuss, if not a guest.
Excellent. Look forward to that. And I'll rejoin you on Monday, Mark. So you and Buttons steer the ship. You'll do a good job tomorrow.
We'll do indeed. We'll talk to everyone tomorrow. Talk to you on Monday.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex are next.
Do you hear my computer career ads and think, I don't know anything about computers. Well, you don't have to. Before starting